Well, hello again. I want to welcome you again this week to these lessons on believing Jesus. I know we're getting near the end. This might be the last lesson. I'm not sure. I know what's coming next. We're going to combine what we've learned in believing Jesus with what we learned in the previous series called Recoding the Brain. And we're going to see if we can get our mind renewed, really renewed, like it says in Romans 12:2. So anyway, I'm excited about today's lesson. Let me get my notes here. I've got a lot of scripture today, too. Now, in order to do justice to this lesson, now I do have some notes, and this PDF will be available for you to print it out if you'd like to have it. Now, in order to do justice to this lesson, I'm going to have to start off with a foundational statement that I've been saying for many, many years. You have to get this straight. Christianity is not a religion. Number one, it is a family. That's why God the Father is called God the Father. God the Son is God the Son, and we've been made joint heirs. So, but Christianity really is a personal relationship with God the Father and with Jesus Christ, whom the Father has sent. And that's in that prayer of Jesus in John 17. Again, if there's any chapter that is like the Holy of Holies in the Bible, I think it's John 17, where you have God the Son, and we have the privilege of listening in. You have God the Son praying to God the Father. Wow. But in John 17:3, Jesus himself tells us what eternal life really is. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. When it comes to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, our goal must be the same as the Apostle Paul's, and that is to know him. The title on today's lesson is called Seek Me Myself. And at the end, near the end of this lesson, I'm going to read to you something that he said to me, foundational, many years ago, about seeking him himself. This is not a religion. This is not like, any other. This is a personal relationship with the risen Savior, the God-man, Jesus Christ, and the Father who sent him. I sometimes think, how would life be different if somehow Jesus just walked through the wall right there and into this room, and we had a discussion? Which really is what happens with you when you get born again. We'll see that in this lesson also. And I've had some of those times, and I intend to have some more of them. Let's look at when it comes to seeking Jesus himself, and eternal life, it says, is to know him, to know the Father and Jesus Christ, all right? Turn to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to look at what Paul wrote about this. Now, he's already been an apostle for a long time. He met Jesus years ago on the road to Damascus. Who are you? I am Jesus, whom you persecute. What would you have me do? And Paul has surrendered his life and been an apostle now for quite a while. And he's writing back to the Philippians here, giving us some insight into his motivation and what it is that drives him. So Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to read this all. It's good for us to hear the Bible sometimes, you know. Verses 7 through 14. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. You know what that is. That I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Here it is, verse 10. That I may know him. Not about him. Not just, we need doctrine, but not just doctrine. Not just church service. Not even a good worship service. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If you want to know a definition of what Pastor Dave would call mortification and edification. You know, the first part is edification, the power of his resurrection, this life, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. There's the mortification. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now he's talking about now in this life. Okay. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Hello, me too. I don't know any perfect people. I don't think you do either. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, now this is the Apostle Paul talking. If he still had a ways to go, pretty sure we got a ways to go. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he knows there's only one way that that's going to happen, and that is to know him, and then to know him more, and then to know him more. I want to read verses 10 and 11 to you out of the Classic Amplified Bible, because it really emphasizes that point. So this is Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11, 10 and 11, out of the Classic Amplified Bible. For my determined purpose, now this is the determined purpose, is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. I told you. He's talking about walking in the resurrected life now. We are new creatures. We are not the same. You're not still an old sinner saved by grace. You were an old sinner. You got saved by grace. And now you've been born again as a child of the living God. Ephesians chapter 4 tells you that the real you on the inside, your spirit man, the real you, was created instantly in righteousness and true holiness. Glory to God. That's who you are. Okay. But it's all based on a personal relationship with the Lord. Did you see that? That I may know him and to progressively know him even more. This is a ever-deepening revelation, fellowship, partnership, working together-ship, surrendering-ship, you know. Jesus was totally surrendered. The only time you really see him wrestling with his own will about that is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And even then, took him hours of prayer, but even then, not my will, but thine be done. Total surrender. Well, in the same way that Jesus totally surrendered to the Father, Paul is saying, I want to totally surrender to Jesus. Amen. See, it is knowing him himself and not just some sort of religious ceremony or... I know I had a college professor, one of them that did me the most damage, really, because he wasn't really a believer, but he had a photographic mind. And really, I mean, he would challenge us. Pick any chapter in the Bible, any chapter in the King James, just you name it and I'll quote it without looking. And he could, because it wasn't exactly memory. It's like he was reading it off the pages of his mind. You know, it's just, you know, it's one of those rare people. Photographic mind, you know. See, I'll just tell you the truth now. Many church people do not know him. Many people that attend church don't know him and have never met him at all, to be honest with you. And you can tell that because there's never been any real change in their life. When you meet Jesus, and I mean meet him, when Jesus comes into your house, let me say it that way. See, what is your house? On earth, your house is your body. When Jesus comes inside and he's in your house with you, he comes in as Lord. And my familiar phrase is, there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new Lord. We don't use the word Lord so much in America. We know what a sheriff is, though. And he begins implementing change immediately, okay? I'll never forget those first 2 weeks when I was born again at age 33. I met the same Jesus who ran the money changers out of the temple. I'm telling you. Within those first 2 weeks, and really it was in the first few days for the vast majority of it, I'm telling you, the love of money for the most part left. I didn't really care about making money anymore. Alcohol addiction left, nicotine addiction left. Now later I backslid into nicotine and it took me a long time to get free again. But that's my fault, not his. Pornography, insane. Within those first few days, pornography left the house. I sacked up all of the Playboy, Hustler, whatever I had. They all left. Dirty jokes left. I didn't want to hear them. And I for sure didn't want to say them anymore. I didn't want to go to the bars anymore. They just left me. And there's so much more. I could just go on. I wanted to go to church. And Sue goes, what? Sue watched me for a couple of months to make sure this was real. She says, I'm not jumping in this. I'm going to watch and see if it's real. Then I'll join you. Well, she did about 2 months later. See, that was the very beginning of what's known in Galatians as the fruit of the Spirit. It's the nature of Christ starting to form within me and starting to take over, see? And just so you to refresh your memory, you could look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Now, we're talking the fruit of the new nature. This is the fruit of the Spirit. We're not talking about the gifts of the Spirit here, but this is the fruit that begins to come forward. The fruit of the Spirit is love, because God is love. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, that's self-control. Against such, there is no law. I see that the seed of the word, let's talk about church people again. The seed of the word has been sown on all types of ground. Jesus in Mark chapter 4, he says, the sower sows the word. And I wrote them down here. There's four kinds of ground, basically. Hard, you could say wayside, thorny and rocky, and good ground, okay? Now, the seed was sown on every kind of ground. And some of it even says it began to put down roots, but the earth was shallow. That's stony ground, if I remember right. The earth was shallow. And so as soon as persecution or trouble arises because of the word, well, at first they received it with joy. Oh, there's trouble? Okay. No roots, see? And this is the teaching that Jesus gave in Mark chapter 4. The seed of the word was sown. But in three, you got to understand, and you read it for yourself. Go back to Mark 4, look at it again. It says, these things choked the word, and it did not bear fruit. Did not bear fruit. Three out of the four types of ground did not bear fruit. And I'll just tell you right now, you can look at just look at nature. If there's never any fruit, there was never any root. That it may have been sown. A little sapling may have come up, but it never matured. It never came to the place of maturity. You know, you don't get fruit off of any fruit tree the first year. It takes a time. It takes a little time. But I got to tell you that when that sheriff come in, it was right away. Boy, there was life-changing. And it's never gone. The only thing I ever really backslid on was the nicotine. And that's my fault, not his. And thank God he finally got me free again. It was my fault. Okay, enough of that. I've repented, and thank God that was a long time ago. But I'm telling you right now, there are multitudes in churches today who attend church because their parents did. That's what they were raised to do as a child. Or because they think that's what you got to do in order to make heaven, you know. Or they're putting their faith in some kind of ritual or some kind of form. such as maybe they were baptized when they were an infant. That doesn't count. I'm telling you, you can dedicate your child, but you can't get your child saved for your child. You got to have your own relationship with the Lord. But a lot of people are trusting, oh, I was baptized as an infant, I'm okay. No. Maybe, or this is the most deceptive one in our culture today, and this is a prayer where somebody led you, really, in the sinner's prayer, but you did it because they asked you to, or you did it because it was, you know, maybe you wanted to get rid of them. Or you said that prayer, you know, I want to try this, maybe, you know. But there was not really any truth in the heart. You didn't mean it with the heart. A lot of people have said that sinner's prayer. So you got to believe in the heart, but with the mouth, confession is made. Well, you can make confession with the mouth, but if you don't believe it in your heart, you just said words, that's all. Now, that's why that very truth that there's many people in church today, in churches, not, you know, all denominations, there's many people in churches today that are, they've never met the Lord. They're not born again, really. They're churchgoers. They're not children of God. See, and that's why, if you go back to the, I believe it's the very first prophecy in the blueprint, what we call Blueprint 2020, that came through Pastor Bronc Flint. Early on in those prophecies, quote, I went back and copied and pasted him. He said, the Holy Spirit said, rescue the harvest in the church and rescue the harvest in the world. For I desire a harvest among my people as well as among the world. We talk about Charles Finney for a minute. He was a great preacher, evangelist, pastor during the Second Great Awakening in America. See, Finney believed, even in his day, that many churchgoers were spiritually complacent or even unconverted despite their religious affiliation. They came to church. But Finney, living among them, dealing with them, watching them, you know, he became convinced these people have never been converted. They've never been born again. His preaching often targeted those inside the church walls, urging them to experience a genuine transformation through repentance and faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He challenged the idea that simply attending church or even adhering to doctrine was enough for salvation. Now, see, the impact, he went after them. He gave altar calls. In fact, altar calls were very rare in Finney's time. But he really reinstituted altar calls. You need to be born again. You need to come. So let me continue here my little research on Charles Finney. I mean, whole books have been written about him. Estimates suggest that hundreds of thousands were converted through his preaching, many of whom were already part of church congregations, a harvest in the church, exactly what the Lord said he wants now. His ministry didn't just grow numbers. It wasn't just about, a seeker-friendly church or our goal is to grow the church numbers. No, he didn't just grow church numbers. It transformed communities. Bars would shut down. Crime rates would fall all over the city, like one of them was Rochester, New York. Finney wasn't just preaching to the lost outside the church. He was shaking up the pews and calling the religious to true repentance and faith in Christ. Glory to God. Oh, God says, I want to harvest in the church and I want to harvest in the world. We're going to give him that, exactly. Now, if you want to see a picture of the born again experience in the Bible, where it's like you've got an old sinner, you know, but Jesus comes in his house, and when he comes in, when the sinner meets Jesus, change happens. Well, the perfect story to illustrate that is the story of Zacchaeus, and I've put it here in this for you. I'm going to read the whole story, then we're just going to comment on it. I've got a whole, if you go back and look at the website, I've got a couple of messages on Zacchaeus. But we're going to do the short version today. Okay, So this Zacchaeus, you can find it in Luke chapter 19, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 again. Every now and then, isn't it good just to hear the Bible again? And this is, of course, the King James Version. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. Now, the publicans were despised. They were the Jews who were tax collectors for the Roman government, the occupying government. And they were well known to, if I could say, put their thumb on the till, and they'd, you know, on the scales, they'd overtax you and they would pocket the difference, you know. They were despised by the people. So the story starts off with Zacchaeus, somebody who would definitely was considered a sinner, you know. This is Zacchaeus. But he sought to see Jesus. See, somebody, thank God, somebody had just mentioned or told him about Jesus. But he'd never seen him. He'd never met him, but he'd heard about him. Always tell people about Jesus. Always share your testimony. Okay, back to the story. But he sought to see Jesus. Notice who he was. Oh, there it is. Who do men say that I am? Well, some say this, some say that. Who do you say that I am? There's the question for all eternity right there. Your answer will determine your eternity. Okay. But he sought to see, he wanted to know who he was. But he couldn't see him for the press because he was little of stature. I can relate with that. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Now notice this. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, abide means I'm not going to come just to the outside. Abide means I'm coming inside, okay? For today I must abide at thy house. And he, Zacchaeus, made haste and came down. And now notice, received him joyfully. Now, when it says received him joyfully, received him into the house. Zacchaeus opened the door. Come on in. Come in, Jesus. Come into my house. See this? What a typing, what a picture of the born again experience. Now, when the people saw it, they all murmured, saying, he's gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. You can just hear the sinner. Which, thank God that Jesus comes to visit sinners. I'm one. Most likely you're one too, you know. But now after they had this meal together, see, after there's fellowship, it's the evening meal, by the way, which is the one where you lingered and you talk and there's fellowship, there's communication. We're not told exactly what was said in there, but we can get a pretty good idea from the fruit, the results that happened afterward. So he was gone to be in, the people marveled, Jesus went in that house. That's a sinner's house. And Jesus went in there. Mm-hmm. Thank God he does. Thank God he comes into sinners' houses. Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Now, this guy is a crook. He's a publican. He's got his thumb on the scales. He's been pocketing money, and it's all been about, and he's very rich. It said he was very rich. He's a rich man. But all of a sudden, all it takes is a little conversation with the real Jesus. He met him. Jesus came in. And it's like when Jesus came in this house, I met him, and he wanted some change. So all of a sudden, Zacchaeus, half, that's a lot of money, half. Look what he says here, half of my goods I give to the poor. Now if that's not change, I don't know what it is for a rich man. Half my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, which he most likely had, I restore him fourfold, which, by the way, if you go back and look under the law of Moses, which they were under at the time, that's what you're supposed to do. If you stole or took by false accusation something that belonged to another man, you're supposed to restore it fourfold. Okay. Now Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. He's talking about Zacchaeus. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Why? He's hearing what Jesus. See, the good thing about Abraham, when he would hear God, he would obey God. I want you to leave everything that you know here in Ur of the Chaldees. Everything, your future, everything you had planned, your friends, your family, your prospects. Nope. I want you to leave. Okay? Where I'm going to go? I'll tell you when you get there. Over and over again. You know, I want you to offer your firstborn son. Well, we could spend a whole hour. The point is, Abraham would hear God and obey God. Zacchaeus is hearing God. He's hearing the Lord Jesus, and he's obeying. See, that's what salvation is. It really is that right there. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is a son of Abraham. Now, he was a son of Abraham physically before this encounter in the flesh. But what he's really saying here, no, he's a son of Abraham because he's hearing me and he's obeying me. We're going to get to it in a minute. Jesus said, there's going to be a lot of people on that day that's going to say, Lord, Lord, but I'm going to have to tell them that I never knew them. And he explains it in the next few verses. They hear me, but they don't obey me. They don't do what I say. I never became their Lord. They call me Lord. They don't do what I say. Anyway. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, thank God that he did. Thank God. So let's look at this. I broke it down like kind of an outline. Zacchaeus, he heard of Jesus somehow and wondered who he was. Thank God. Who do you say that I am? See, he didn't know. He just heard of Jesus. I want to see who he is. But he saw him. But see, he didn't know who Jesus was. But boy, Jesus sure knew who Zacchaeus was. He knows who you are too. And it's so, I love the way that it's worded. Zacchaeus, come down. And this is the way Jesus always talks with all of us. See, today is the day of salvation. He says, today I must come into your house. That's the attitude of Jesus. He's the one that stands at the door and knocks at the door of our heart. If any man will open the door, you got to open the door. It says Zacchaeus received him, meaning he opened the door and received him into his house. See, Jesus stands and knocks at the door of every heart, really. But Zacchaeus received him joyfully. They've spent time together. They fellowship together. This would be, for us, this would be meditating, especially the four gospels. This would be your worship time. This would be prayer time, just talking with the Lord. This would probably include fasting. All of the things we talk about is to enhance that time of fellowship between you and the Lord. But the new sheriff sitting right across the table there from Zacchaeus, inside the house, though, that's what it was with me, too. He said, this pornography's got to go. That dirty joke's no more. You're going to clean up your mouth, son. Yes, sir. Okay. The new sheriff, the picture is so perfect. Inside the house, here's Zacchaeus and the new sheriff. And the new sheriff has some instruction. I need to talk to you, Zacchaeus. And the fruit of repentance was immediate. Sue was watching me. You could see it right away. Now, I'm far from perfect. Trust me, I'm brand new at this. But I didn't want to go to the bars anymore. I didn't really even care about making money anymore. My whole life was about making money before that. I didn't want alcohol. I didn't want cigarettes. I didn't want to watch the same TV programs. I didn't want to hear any dirty jokes anymore. I sure didn't want to tell any dirty joke. I mean, it's just amazing. She's watching all this going, who are you? Now, see, it's important to understand now. Zacchaeus could have said no. And that's what happens with those three types of ground. The sower sows the word. Okay, here it comes. The word is in there. Okay, but people say no. You know, the rich young ruler came. What would you have me do? Well, I gave him instruction. No, I'm not willing to do that. And he went away sorrowful. Hopefully, later on, he came back and got born again. Hopefully. But see, Zacchaeus could have said no. Everybody has the right to say no. Okay? But he chose to act on what Jesus told him. The real Jesus on the inside of the house. Okay? Now see, doing what Jesus says as Lord is what Jesus said, this results in salvation. That's what Abraham did. That's what Zacchaeus did. He heard me and obeyed. Abraham heard me and obeyed. And Jesus himself, because you see repentance and obeying what Jesus is saying, this day is salvation. Come to this house. Now let's look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. And then we're going to look at the following verses. Luke 6:46 in the King James, Jesus speaking here, and he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Zacchaeus did. Nathan, I'm adding that for the purpose of illustration. Zacchaeus did. He heard me and obeyed. Why do you call me Lord, and do not do the things I say? And then the next two verses here, Luke 6:47 and 48. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, okay, and doeth them, like, I'm going to say again, like Zacchaeus did, like Abraham did, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood came, see, there's the trials of life, and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, couldn't shake it. For it was founded upon a rock. What is that rock? The rock. I used to think in my early days, because of the preaching that I had heard, that rock is Jesus. Well, in a way, that's true. But the subject matter? No. The rock is doing his sayings. Does he become your Lord or not? Are you just attending church? Has there been change in your life? Are you just attending church? You singing the songs, putting money in the plate when it comes by. But I ain't about to change my life. Well, Now I didn't put on here the next verse where he talks about the guy who hears the sayings. Same thing. He hears my sayings, but he doesn't do them. That same kind of storm comes and beats on his house, and that house fell. And great was the fall of it. Well, that's Mark chapter 4 again. That's those three types of ground. The word was sown, but some of it just bounced off like a rock, you know. Some of it, they received it gladly, started to put down roots. But stony ground, you know, and when any kind of trouble came, oh, I'm done with this, all right. And then there was some that started putting down roots, but just they chose the world, if you want to be honest. They chose the things of the world over Jesus. The deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, and just, you know, the cares of this world, just being too occupied with the world, it choked the word and it didn't produce any fruit. Only on the fourth type of ground did he say, so, you know, there was fruit. And even then, though, some people produce 30, some 60, and some 100. See, not only the Lord can be that judge, you know. I'm sure I have not perfectly obeyed the Lord. In fact, I know for sure I haven't perfectly obeyed the Lord. And I'm sometimes really slow to obey. But I'm somewhere in there, 30, 60, 100 fold, not 100. I'm 30, 60 somewhere. It's a fearful thing to be hard or stony ground and not allow the seed of Christ to bear fruit by doing what he says, by never making him your Lord. By never surrendering to Jesus. I'm trying to say it all the ways to make a point. See, look at John 15, verses 1 through 6. Again, we're going to look at it in the King James. A lot of verses today, I know, but it's good for us. See, this is just hours before the cross. He's giving them John chapter 15, 16, 17, really 14 and 13, most of it. This is ours. It's right before the cross. He's about to be arrested and tried and so forth. And It's like he's summing up and he's giving them his last instructions here. So John 15 verses 1 through 6. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Now every branch in me that beareth not fruit, okay, he takes it away. What? Stony, wayside ground, stony ground, too busy ground, okay? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So you're already bearing fruit. You've been purged. Well, trust me, as I say, I've been at this over 40 years now. Trust me when I say, there's more purging to come, my brother and sister. Okay, we'll have more on that later. But you can see that it's, you're bearing fruit. So you put down roots, you're bearing fruit. You're matured to a certain level enough to bear fruit. But he will purge it so it brings forth more fruit. Boy, that process continues. Now you are clean. That's the same word purged through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. Let me stay in your house. You stay in my house as a son. I'm going to stay in your house as the Lord. Just like with Zacchaeus. Now keep that image in your mind. I in you. I'm going to stay in your house. Okay. We're going to talk. Not just that one day. Every day. All day. I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. This relationship has to continue. Saying, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, if a man abide not in me, if you get out, Jesus, I'm slamming the door shut. I'm going back to my old life. A lot of people do that. I did that. I walked away from God. I opened the door when I was about 7 years old. He came in. I heard him for years. And I could hear his voice pretty good. But then about the age of, I had a car and discovered girls, you know, and I slammed the door. I'll just be honest with you. I said, okay, I'm going to go live my life now. That was the worst mistake I ever made. And I hate to think if I'd have died from about age 16 to about age 33, thank God he sent Michael Muccio into the business world to come after me. And thank God he got me back. And I promised him, I said, if you'll take me back, you'll never have to come looking for me again. And he hasn't had to. It doesn't mean I've walked a perfect life either. But boy, okay. But if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Withered. You can see that over in Jude. It talks about twice dead. It talks about a fruit tree that slowly withered. And finally it just died, produced no fruit. I think that was me. Before Michael Muccio came along. But thank God he is the God of the second chance, the third chance, 270 times seven chance. You know, thank God he took me back. He's merciful to the backslider if you'll repent and come home. Thank God I'm that prodigal son that came home. Thank God. But if you don't, now if you put him out the door and say, I'm living my own life, and you die in that condition. Men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. I don't think I even need to comment on that. The imagery is pretty good. Okay. Now, also, let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. Very scary verses, but he wants a harvest in the church. Church attendance is not enough. Giving in the offering is not enough. Singing the worship songs is not enough. Is Jesus in your house? Are you in fellowship with him? Is he Lord? Are you listening and obeying? Okay, Matthew 7, 22 and 23. Many, not a few. Now, see, you know, these are church people. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Heathen don't say that. Pagans don't say that. Those in Buddhism or Confucius or whatever, you know, they don't say that to Jesus. These are church people. And many, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And that last phrase, you could just as well say it, you that never repented. You that never, you never listened to me. You never obeyed me. You sang the songs. You put money in the plate. You went to church. Maybe you gave into an offering to clothe the naked or something, or give clothes to the poor, feed the hungry. But I never knew you. We never got acquainted. You never met me. I never met you. We never sat down across from each other. Again, like the story with Zacchaeus there. He's got to come in the house, brother and sister. Okay. Salvation is you coming into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He stands at the door of every heart, knocking at the door of your heart, waiting. He's waiting to be invited in. Notice Zacchaeus received him joyfully. Zacchaeus, open the door. Come on in, Jesus. That's the real sinner's prayer. Come on in. Forgive me. Save me. Cleanse me. You're the Lord now. What would you have me do? It's exactly what the same as Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. Oh, you're Jesus? Oh, what would you have me do? There it is. Okay. So he's waiting to be invited in. Now, I know most people who watch these videos are sincere born-again Christians, but today, just in case, you're watching this and you're going, I'm not sure. We're going to get to that in a minute. Have you opened the door and asked Jesus to come into your heart? Now, when you do, when you really do that and he comes in, you're not going to stay the same. That is true repentance. When the real Jesus comes in, he comes in as Lord. You're going to meet that same one that cleansed the temple, drove the money changers out. Your life becomes a life of seeking him himself. Just like Paul said, I want to know you. I want to know what you say to me. I want to be like you. Well, he wants you to be like him. God is absolutely, absolutely determined that we be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. He made Adam and Eve originally in that image. See? Okay. So I keep seeing so many lessons that I as a teacher, I don't want to leave anything out, but if I go there, we'll be here 4 days. Oh. Give me just a moment here. I hope you enjoy these as much as I enjoy doing them. This is good news. It's not bad news. And if you are a churchgoer but you've never really invited Jesus into your heart, this is a great day for you. Your whole life, your whole eternity is going to change before this is over. Now, I gotta stay with this. We've only got about 15 minutes here. Now I'm going to read to you something. It's something I wrote many years ago. Again, this came by tongue and interpretation. This was quite a while later. This was in, if I remember right, 1997. And the Lord spoke to me, and the title I put on it is Him Speaking. He says, Seek Me Myself. Seek Me Myself. And I'm just going to read it to you exactly the way that I heard it. And I know you can tell by the context, it's the Lord Jesus just speaking. But what he said to me, he says to every new believer, really. He says, in all of your seeking, my son, seek me. Seek me. For all of those other things, those anointings and those giftings and even those provisions are all obtained as you seek me. As you find me, you obtain them. Seek me myself, son. Seek me in all of your seeking. It is as you understand and know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that all the fullness of the Godhead comes to you. For all the fullness of the Godhead is in me bodily. As you come to know me, all that fullness comes to you. Seek me, son, seek me. In me, you will find all that you want and all that you desire and all that you need. Seek me myself, son, for it is I who has redeemed you and not you yourself. Next paragraph. Be sure that your quest is the same as my servant Paul's. His quest became to know me. In knowing me, he progressively knew the power of my resurrection, the fellowship of my sufferings, and was made conformable to my death in order that he might obtain those powers of the age to come in this life, on this side of the veil. He's talking about now. Next paragraph. I am well pleased with the present transformation of motivation within your heart. Understand that a portion of the reward is the journey itself. Understand that a portion of the reward is the seeking itself. For in the seeking you will find, and in the knocking the door shall be opened, and in the asking the requests shall be granted. Continue seeking me myself, son. Seek after me, for in me are all the things that you desire. My goodness. If you guys think I'm smart enough to write stuff like that, you don't know me very well. I'm not smart enough, and I hardly knew anything then. Next paragraph. This is kind of a long one, but it's good for us. He's still speaking, and he says, the things that I desire for you to do for my kingdom would seem bizarre to you without your intimate acquaintance with me. Your mind would leap and jump up and arise and say, that's not the Lord. He says, you must know me. You must know me to receive accurately my instructions. That is why I am emphasizing so strongly, That is why I am emphasizing so strongly to you now to seek me myself. Come to know me. Come to know me that you may receive my instruction. I'm just going to break for just a minute. I had no idea the kind of instructions he was going to give us later to give everything away free, to just in the financial arena alone. It seemed bizarre, the instructions he gave us. Nobody else does it like this. What are you talking about? But I knew him well enough, just enough, barely enough to obey. Thank God. Okay, back to this. He says, I counsel you again to give the utmost heed to these things which I have already instructed you to do. These are the very, and that, I'll just tell you, he was talking about my times of prayer, my times of meditation in the Word. I had left the trucks several years at this point. I was at the ugly building in these days. But that's what he was instructing me to do at that time. He said, these are the very things. Yes, sir. Basically, I was doing the blueprint before we had the blueprint. Okay. These are the very things that will cause your acquaintance with me to blossom. The fellowship with me, the time spent with me, and doing those things that I have instructed you will bring you into my very presence where we may fellowship. Zacchaeus, you remember? Where we may fellowship and where your heart becomes my heart. That's exactly what was happening with Zacchaeus and Jesus. Okay. Where your mind becomes my mind. Where your purpose becomes my purpose. And where my gifts flow without hindrance through your life. Boy, do we need that. Last paragraph. First comes the knowing. Then comes the doing. Did you hear that sentence? Paul understood that. My quest is to know him, to progressively know him better. And I'm telling you, as that happens, there's more and more purging so that you can bear more and more fruit. Read that sentence again, Gary. First comes the knowing, then comes the doing. The detailed instructions are certainly on the way. Boy, they were. As your acquaintance with me becomes more intimate, my instructions shall unfold before you, and they will be simple for you to do. And they were. Make everything free. Not hard to do that, except in here. Okay. That's where it ended. Now, I'm going to give two invitations. I seldom do this, but he's already instructed me that there's going to be more times like this. See, if you're watching this and, you know, you're a good person, what I mean is you go to church and you tithe and or you give and you support orphanages. I don't know what all you might do, but you know, if is Jesus on the inside of your house? Does he instruct you? Have you repented? Are you acquainted with him? Does he know you? Do you know him? See, if you've never really opened the door like that, we need to do it today. See, he always says, today, I must come into your house. He always says, today is the day of salvation. And like he said to Zacchaeus, there is no option. I must come into your house. I want to help you right now. Let me just, if you've never invited Jesus into your house, the Bible says he's standing and been standing there at the door of your heart, waiting. He's knocking. It's up to you to receive him. Just say this with me. Lord Jesus, today I want you to come in my house. Lord, forgive me. I know that you already paid the price for all of my sins. I've known about you, Lord, but I'm not sure I know you personally. Lord, I'm asking you. I'm opening the door. Lord, come into my house. Come into my heart. Come into me today. Let us fellowship together. Lord, you are Lord, and I am your servant. I am your child, but I'm here to do what you say. Come into my heart. I receive you gladly. Fellowship with me. Lord, what would you have me do? Boy, if you prayed that prayer, if that's the first time, your whole life's about to change. Now, you may not have as much repentance as I did. You may have lived a pretty cleaned up life, but there's a lot of people living cleaned up lives that aren't born again. But if you ask Jesus into your heart, boy, there's a new sheriff in town. You're going to get to know him. You're going to get to know him. And he loves you. Nobody loves you like him. But be prepared. He may find some money changers and other things in there that need to be driven out. But it's a good thing. That purging process will begin and it's going to continue. All right. Now, I got another invitation that at the instruction of the Lord, he told me to do this. See, for those of us like myself that invited Jesus into our house a long time ago, and there's been much house cleaning already. See? No. I think of my friend Homer. Man, he had a very similar experience as me. He was used drugs and cheating on his wife and carried a pistol, I think. And, you know, I think he said, you know, he would rob the drug dealers. I mean, you know, well, when Jesus came in, boy, there was a house cleaning in his life. But if Homer was sitting right here, he would tell you, same as me. But there was a great purging in that first days, just the first days, a great house cleaning. But he'd also tell you that house cleaning has continued. Well, that's because we've been doing the message. See, we've been doing, allowing him, spending time with him. Because I'll be honest with you, we really don't even know what's wrong with us, but he does. A lot of people want to change, but they're going to find out you really can't change yourself. It's him empowering you to do it. That's a whole nother lesson, but let me just read it the way I wrote it here. For us, if you're one of those that invited Jesus into your house a long time ago, like me, and there's already been a lot of purging, a lot of house cleaning where he's, you know, changed your life. See, no, Jesus is, he's the way I saw it in a quick little mini vision, he's in there, but he's going, you know, I've noticed there's rooms in this house where you've kept the door locked. We've gone into that room together and cleaned it. We've gone into that room of your house and cleaned it. Gary, you don't do pornography. You don't do this. You don't do that. But you know, what's in that room right over now? He already knows, but it's like, I'm knocking on that door in your house now. You've never let me in there. Now this gets down to more deeper stuff like selfish ambition, pride. Ooh, Gary, you said the pride word. I am. What do they call them? Guilty pleasures, things that aren't exactly sin. I was just watching an innocent show the other day. Nothing sinful about it. No skin, no cussing, no nothing. It was a murder mystery. It was an actual solving of a murder. I like the puzzle part where they figured out, you know, who done it. And I was just watching one of those, and it's not sin, but that's a room that's still, anyway, what he said to me, he says, oh, you like those, you know, how long are you going to sit and watch these stories that don't really edify? He says, since you like stories so much, I've got a lot of really good stories in my Bible, and they're all true, and they'll all edify. He's taking away my guilty pleasure, you know, I'm not really guilty. It's like, oh man. And, less than a month from the time he spoke, I think it was about 2 weeks, we cut the cord. We don't have cable anymore now. Now I still have some television, but we cut all that. We cut what they call cutting the cord. We don't have cable in the house anymore. And going to be better off for it. Spend more time in his stories in the Bible. But see, let's pray. Those of us that's been his for a long time, let's pray this prayer. Okay, Lord, you and I have been fellowshipping a long time, Jesus. But you know and I know there's rooms in this house that I've kept the door locked. Lord, I see you, I hear you knocking at those doors. Lord, I'm opening up those doors. I'm asking you, Lord, any rooms that I've kept shut off from your purging, from your inspection, Lord, I'm best I know how. I'm asking you. I'm opening those doors. Come on in, Lord. Purge me more that I can bear more fruit. We're coming into this revival, Lord, and I want to be part of it. Any locked doors, any doors I've, any rooms that I kept you out of, I'm asking you today, Lord. I'm opening those doors. Come on in. Anything you don't like, let's get rid of it. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's a real good prayer. That's a real good prayer. Now, so I want to remind you again of that. We read it earlier, John 15, verses 1 and 2. This is that continual purging. Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. But now notice this. Every branch that bears fruit, well, that's us, okay? He purges it. That's already bearing fruit, meaning it's got roots, it's mature, it's been purged to the point, it's bearing fruit. But he continues to purge it. Why? He goes into those other rooms and cleans them out. Why? That it may bring forth more fruit. And that's what we're really after. In the blueprint, the Holy Spirit instructed us more than once. You'll find this phrase, complete the purging process. Let's do exactly that. Love you so much. See you again next week. Bye-bye for now.